Here we are, March 1st already in Columbus
Yes.
for Ask the Mayor. Thank you again for having us today. Just kind of wanted to start off the bat where I see where the city hired some new police, fire department officers. Coming in as mayor, are you happy in terms of the staffing of both departments?
Yes, we are. One of the things that I was really pleased with respect to the fire department is that we had a number of folks, I'll say, I can't remember whether it was 34 or 44, but probably closer to 34, sign up to apply for promotion. You know, that may seem like a simple thing, but it's important for us to get individuals who are prepared or willing to accept a little extra responsibility. So we had a few captains retire. Obviously, we promoted one fire battalion chief up to police, or up to fire chief. So we created a spot there, and there were a couple other spots that people were willing to move up to, and I really did appreciate their willingness to step forward, and serve the community. In the police area, the police force, I think we just recently sworn in one new, and we've got a couple more open positions which we'll, attempt to fill over the summer.
Sure. I see there's a bill in the legislature on body cam video, basically making it a little easier for public to get a hold of video. Does Columbus have this technology?
Yeah, we installed body cams last year. All our police officers have those, and they wear them all the time unless they're being downloaded or recharged or what have you. Our policies with respect to records retention and record availability are pretty close to the bill that's moving forward in the legislature. So I don't anticipate any real issues there. But I think it's been a good addition to our force.
We talk about budgets for personnel, but I assume you're always looking at budget for equipment, facilities, and so forth in terms of public safety as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of the budgeting for this year was already set. So we're just following along with what we've inherited. But we'll be at full strength, or we'll try to be at full strength throughout the year in both fire and police personnel.
I see a headline in the Republic that you're pitching some funds for business recruitment. And last month, you talked about how although the unemployment rate is low, the job market is mainly cyclical industries. So what kind of business recruitment are you looking for?
Well, first place we start is with a realization of what kind of businesses we have here. And we're very heavily invested in diesel engine manufacturing and automotive parts manufacturers. And right now, or for the last 5 years, those have been good sectors of the economy to be in. But we all know that those sectors are cyclical. And we concern ourselves a little bit with what happens, when we get into the next cycle. So our thoughts with respect to economic development has been to try to target industries that, maybe weren't counter-cyclical, but at least not on the same cycle. And so the local economic development group has met over the past year and refined their recruitment efforts a little bit and want to change the focus of that. And what they'd like to get to is pharmaceuticals, medical device manufacturing, engineering research and development, and administrative support services. And so it'll be a little bit of a change or a little bit of a difference in focus with respect to our economic recruitment efforts. But I think it's something that we need to do to try to broaden the base of the economy here. You got to remember, too, that even though we're fairly close to full employment, or some would argue that we're at full employment today, the efforts that we're talking about are designed to produce results 3 years from now, 5 years from now. I mean, we're not trying to find jobs for next week, or even next year. This is a longer-term investment and one that I think the community really needs to undertake in order to provide a solid foundation for our economy, into the next generation.
In terms of those funds that you're seeking, what do they, maybe a little bit more specifically, what do they actually do? What do those funds get you?
Okay, what we will be doing is enhancing the partnership that we have with the Economic Development Board. The Greater Columbus Area Economic Development Corporation is the entity that we're talking about here. And heretofore, the City of Columbus has given them about $14,000 a year. I shouldn't say given. We pay them in return for their managing our economic development efforts. What we've asked them to do is, again, to broaden that search, to go to some industries that we're not looking at today. And they'll do that by first trying to target, which companies, might make sense for us to pursue, which kind of channels you want to try to look into, whether it's trade publications or trade shows, or whether there are particular groups within those industry sectors that we might want to become affiliate members of. All the above. And that'll probably take up about the first year's worth of activity, just trying to figure out how best to focus, you know, our efforts. And then in the second year, we'll move perhaps to a little bit more targeted, you know, kind of approach where we've got particular companies that are, you know, trying to expand, and we'll try to get in the front door there and get them to take a look at Columbus.
Can you give us an update, too, on, before we started rolling, you gave me a little bit of an insight on an industrial park area, but there's some zoning, is that true?
Well, it's not so much zoning, but there are some regulatory issues. The place that we're talking about is the old Waynesboro Airport. And anybody who's familiar with Columbus probably knows what I'm talking about, but this is out near I-65 and State Road 58. And what we have there is a facility that used to be the Columbus Municipal Airport, and prior to that was owned by the Army Air Corps. You know, they used it for training back in World War II. What we have found is that in order to pursue development, we need the permission of the Federal Aviation Administration and the Department of Defense. And so instead of trying to do that lot by lot, you know, we're going to try to get them to release the entire facility. I don't know that that happens very often, so we're not sure just exactly how long that's going to take. Second thing we found out is that Federal Emergency Management Administration, FEMA, they use a computer model to determine what's in a floodplain or what isn't. And they've told us that a good portion of that facility is in a floodplain. We disagree with that. In 2008, when we had the calamitous flood here in Columbus, it didn't get wet out there. I mean, well, it got wet, but it didn't get flooded. You know, it got wet because it rained. But so we don't believe that that's a flooding risk, but yet their model indicates that it is. So, you know, the second avenue that we've got to take that's somewhat regulatory is to sit down with them and convince them that they ought to change their model, at least with respect to this particular property. Because without that, when you go to development and you've got somebody taking a look at the site, I mean, one of the very first things I ask you is, well, is this in a floodplain? And, you know, we want to be able to tell the truth, which is that it isn't. So we've got to get that removed from the floodplain map. And that'll take us a couple months, you know, all by itself.
Yeah, and I assume you don't want to get yourself in the legal ramifications that you may have remembered Kokomo Mayor Greg Goodnight building a baseball stadium in what was considered a floodplain, which he disagreed but built anyway, and that was a year-long mess per se that they somehow found their way through. But yeah. It sounds like you're kind of finding that same situation.
Yeah, we want to get that taken care of on the front end.
Part of this fun stuff to talk about, too, are the quality of life amenities that mayors get to spearhead in Kokomo. I just mentioned about the baseball stadium, Bloomington. We talked a lot about the Beeline Trail. Columbus at one point was looking to build a river walk project that seemed to have gone away, but now there may be some new life?
Right. Our Redevelopment Commission has put out a request for proposals for a consultant to help us analyze our riverfront, and it's really there's a little bit more to it than just a walk. I mean, again, those who are familiar with Columbus realize we've got a people trail system through town, and it does a fairly good job of getting you around town. But there's a section here that's empty. You know, doesn't have connections with respect to the trail. We sometimes call that the land between the bridges, and what we're talking about there is the Third Street Bridge and the Stewart Bridge. And what we want to do is try to get the trail through that area in a manner that separates it from automobiles. So typically you're talking about a different grade or maybe some kind of barrier, you know, to protect the bicyclists and the pedestrians. At the same time, there's a realization that there's a few other design issues related. I mean, we've got some old structures that either need to be upgraded or replaced. We've got a dam that is in the middle of the, obviously runs across the White River that is failing slowly, and we've got an abandoned landfill, you know, on the west side of that river. And so what we're trying to do is find a solution that sort of talks to all these at the same time, because we really would like to open it up for either recreational use or just, you know, use for the trail to be able to get into the downtown area and get to work. And to do that, it's a pretty all-encompassing project. So the first step was to hire somebody who could help us navigate through, again, many regulatory hurdles, because we deal with the Army Corps of Engineers, the Indiana Department of Natural Resources, and the Indiana Department of Environmental Management. So just working through those acronyms is, you know, a job by itself.
Would this be a big boon for the Columbus area, or is this going to be a lot of money kind of going place that maybe is not something people are looking for?
Well, I think most people are pretty excited about it. I mean, we talk about the Columbus's front door, and in essence, we've got two front doors. We've got the one out there by I-65 that we have called the Front Door Project, but then we've got a second front door that comes, you know, as you cross the railroad tracks coming into town. And we want that to be as appealing, you know, to people as the one further out by I-65. I think we also realize that in Columbus, for reasons that maybe are easy to understand, maybe not, but the city has sort of turned its back to the river. I mean, it's an interesting design thought. I mean, if you take a look at the courthouse, it's clearly looking northeast, and the back of the courthouse faces the water. And so what we want to try to do is to get people to embrace the river and use it not only for recreational purposes, but just the aesthetics involved in, you know, being that close to the water. So, I think it has an opportunity to help us in a number of different ways.
I wanted to talk a couple of State House items as well. There's more talk this week of the big road funding bill. You know, of all the items, though, on your list, what are you looking for funding for the most in terms of infrastructure? Is it roads, or is it?
Well, roads we're always looking for money for roads. And in particular, roads that lead to destinations. I mean, they may sound a little silly, but, you know, what we're trying to do is help people get to work. We're trying to help them get to the retail or shopping needs or to school, you know, depending upon what their needs are. I think in addition to roads, you know, we're very interested in trying to become a little bit more pedestrian friendly, you know, bicycle friendly. You know, we've got a group here in town that has initiated a bike share program. I mean, it's close to being rolled out. But what we want to be able to do is place bicycle stations around town and for people to use these as transportation. I mean, not so much recreation, but, you know, to get from here to there. I mean, either work-related or education-related or, you know, some other purpose of life. And so I think we would be as much as anything else interested in ways to enhance that, you know, bicycle and pedestrian traffic.
One more. I see that a federal judge just Monday said that Indiana can't block Syrian refugees from coming to the state. Governor Mike Pence announced he was suspending Indiana's Syrian refugees resettlement program. What's your take on this from Columbus, Indiana?
Columbus has always prided itself on being a welcoming and diverse city, and that doesn't change. So, you know, we have people here from, well, the school system tells me that we have 59 different languages spoken at home, I mean, among their student body, which is about 10 to 12,000 kids. So you got 10 to 12,000 kids, you got 59 languages spoken at home, and I would hope that that would say something positive with respect to our welcoming attitude, you know, and the fact that here in Columbus, you know, we look at who you are and accept you based on that and not necessarily where you've come from.
I hear the train whistle in the background in your office the last time, too, and of course you talked about that will be an ongoing project. Has anything changed in terms of the rerouting of train tracks through Columbus?
We don't have anything really concrete to discuss. Thursday of last week, I went to Huntingburg, Indiana, and visited with the mayor down there. They have an overpass project that is not yet under construction, but it's certainly pretty far along. And my discussions with him were centered around, well, how did you identify this? How did you get your word across to the Department of Transportation? And how did you justify it? I mean, because part of what it takes, it seems to me that we'll spend the next several months doing is trying to develop our case. You know, what data do we need to gather? Who do we need to present it to? What kind of format? What kind of data is the Department of Transportation interested in? So we know that we'll spend a few months doing that, and then we'll get a little bit better feel as to hopefully how receptive the folks, you know, in the transportation planning business are. But yeah, we recognize it's an issue that we have to address, and we're getting started. Yeah.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add?
We're proud of our Lady Bulldogs. You know, they finished second in the state, Class 4A. The game was last Saturday night. Lost to a team from Mishawaka Penn, who on that night probably could have beaten anybody in the state. We were proud that we able to got to the championship game. That particular senior class, I'll give you the wrong number, but I'm close. They were 103-7 you know, throughout their 4 years. And on the in-state teams that they lost to, it was the eventual state champion every year. You know, so yeah, it was a good group, good class, good group of girls, yeah, good kids.